I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 10. And we turn to verse 46. That's page 1012. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And if we look down into verse 51, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And that is the subject before us this morning, the greatest question from our Lord. What do you want me to do for you? Now, it's very significant that just prior to this event, when Jesus asked Bartimaeus this question, two of the disciples with their mother had actually asked Jesus to do for them whatever they asked him. And Jesus asked them. He responded with exactly the same question as he is given to Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? What is it you want me to do for you? And the disciples request that they were to sit on his right hand and on his left side in glory. A very privileged position in the glory. They coveted positions of greatness and authority. And Jesus explained to them, as we notice, that the truly great people in God's sight are those who serve, not those who are served. And he supports this teaching by referring to his own personal ministry in verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And from his perfect testimony, we can learn that in God's sight, true greatness and spiritual maturity consists in the outpouring of ourself in service to others for the glory of God. To be great in God's sight means to be loving people, to serve others. So the greatness of God's people does not depend upon their position, but it depends on them loving and serving in a spirit of humility and dependence and prayer. So in the doctrine of Jesus, being good to yourself, which is the great statement that we live in today, be good to yourself. Well, in the doctrine of Jesus, in the theology of Jesus, the being good to yourself actually means trusting in him and serving others. Trusting in him and serving others. It's an outpouring rather than something which is so centered upon yourself, all about you. Well, the Lord's way is totally different. It's given of yourself to others as a servant. And so we consider again then, this greatest question their Lord asked. What do you want me to do for you? This great question. Now, this question can be asked of ourselves this morning, in the secret place of your heart. What would you like Jesus to do for you? Some of you children might be already thinking about Christmas and thinking, "Well, I really want this or that present for Christmas, and that's what I want." And you're perhaps even praying that the Lord would grant mum and dad, or whoever it is, to give you your present that you desire. That may be the chiefest thing in your mind this morning. You've perhaps written a list, or you've put something on Amazon, and you've got your list, and that's what you want. That's what you're looking to. That's what you're thinking about. What do you like Jesus to do for you? You may be asking God this morning to help you in providence, and that's good. But in your heart, you don't want to follow him. You don't want to obey him as Lord. You don't want to worship him as Savior and Lord. It's good to ask God's help in the practical things of life, but if a request stops just there, it's so sad. We're missing so much. There is so much of real and eternal value that Jesus can do for you. He can save your soul. He can give you eternal life. He can give you an inheritance in heaven. I remember reading of a person who was given 3 minutes to go around a supermarket and fill up her shopping trolley for free. Now, we think that woman very foolish if she arrived at checkout with just a tube of toothpaste, wouldn't we? So much more to have. Oh, if it had been me, I'd have gone straight to the delicatessen. There's so much beautiful things to get. Fill up their trolley with all the beautiful pies and pâtés and all that sort of thing. And sometimes, though, we're like this with God. God has got so much to give us. And he's ready to forgive. He's ready to help us and be with us and save us. And we're just like the woman with the supermarket trolley. We only look to God for providential things. And we've got so much more we can put in the trolley of our lives as we look to God by faith. And sometimes we miss out the essential. And when we ask this ourselves the question in our heart this morning, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Isn't it sad if only all we are looking to the Lord for is providential answers to prayer, but we're not thinking about our soul, the vital issue of life, eternal issues of life. Well, I want us to consider how blind Bartimaeus answered this question, because it was a very wholehearted response. He understood something of the depth of who Jesus was and what Jesus could really do for him as a whole being, a whole person. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus, but he had a tremendous understanding of who Jesus really was. It's amazing. What Jesus did for Bartimaeus then? Well, let's look at his condition. Verse 46, let's look at this man. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. What do you think as you go by the streets in Ashford and someone's sitting perhaps in the town centre begging? What do you think of that person? What do I think of that person? Well, here is a man who is blind, he's destitute, he's despised, he's poverty stricken, he's living off the leftovers from the people going by. You imagine how it could be today. Someone's been to McDonald's and they haven't finished their bag of chips, French fries or whatever they call it now in McDonald's. And you can have this, or I haven't finished my hamburger, just leave it there. And well, that's how it would have been in those days. There was no social security in those days. There's no benefit system in those days. In the days of Bartimaeus, you literally were a beggar. You were dependent upon other people giving you something. And we're given this vivid description of his position. He's sitting by the roadside. He's begging. Now, Bartimaeus had nothing materially to give to the church, to Jesus. He had nothing to give of himself. As a beggar, Bartimaeus could only receive. He got nothing to give. He could only receive. And in salvation, we have got nothing to give God. We come just like Bartimaeus. We're needy sinners. We're beggars. We've got nothing to give. But we can receive. And in salvation, we receive forgiveness because of what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is God's free gift to us, to those who believe and trust in Jesus. And when we consider salvation, we must come to Jesus as Bartimaeus. As a beggar, realizing our helpless condition. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, we sing. We're unable to save ourselves. We're depend totally and absolutely. Get this thought in your minds, friends. Absolutely dependent upon God's grace. There's nothing, there's no work we can do, there's nothing we can contribute to salvation. We're absolutely, totally dependent upon God's grace to save us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And spiritually, we're just like Bartimaeus. We're a beggar. We are absolutely dependent upon God to give us of His grace in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at his cry, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now Bartimaeus then is sitting by the roadside begging, and a crowd was passing by this day. Jesus was in the town, and obviously there was plenty of people there in Jericho. It was a good day for revenue. And at first Bartimaeus may have thought, well, let's just sit there and take the coins. This is a busy day. Let's just take the gifts that people are dropping by me. But the Spirit of God had prepared Bartimaeus for this day. The Spirit of God had worked in his mind and heart, because we read he'd heard about Jesus of Nazareth. He'd heard about him. He knew that this was Jesus of Nazareth. He had believed the accounts he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth, because he cries, when he'd heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Oh, this Jesus of Nazareth, I've heard about him. And now he's coming through this town. He's coming by me." Bartimaeus. And now he shows real living faith, because directly Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, we read he cries out for mercy. Notice that he cries out for mercy. He doesn't actually cry out for healing. He cries out for mercy. He understands that he's a dependent being, and he's dependent upon the mercy of God coming to him in Jesus Christ. And so he cries out, believing in Jesus as the Son of David. Now, when they referred to Jesus as the Son of David, it was a recognition that he was actually the Messiah. And this means that Bartimaeus believed by faith that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He realized above all that he needed the mercy and the compassion of Jesus in his life. And Bartimaeus had a need. And with that need, he called upon Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Now, friends, I have a need, and you have a need. And the question is this morning, what are we doing with that need? How are we coping with that need this morning? Are we trying to work it out ourselves? Are we trying to work through this situation you have in your life by human ingenuity and thoughts and actions and words and procedures and what actions that you're taking? Or are you taking that need to Jesus? Well, we think of providential circumstances, but much more the need of salvation, the need of your soul, the burden of your sin. What are you going to do with this burden of sin? We're all guilty before God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What are we going to do about this need? What are you going to do about this need this morning? Are you going to pretend it doesn't exist? Or are you going to take your need, like Bartimaeus, to Jesus? Well, if we're going to take our need to Jesus, we need to believe who he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. For our cry to Jesus to be effective, it must be by faith. We must believe who he really is, and that he is able to save us, just like Bartimaeus. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And I want us to look then at his desire in verse 48. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now Bartimaeus is told in no uncertain terms here by those around him to shut up. You're making a nuisance of yourself, Bartimaeus. Well, you feel uncomfortable, Bartimaeus. You know, you're shouting, have mercy, thou son of David, have mercy on me, Bartimaeus. And we don't want to, we're uncomfortable with you, Bartimaeus. You're too keen, Bartimaeus. You're too intense, Bartimaeus. In any case, how could he expect Jesus to be interested in a lowly, blind beggar? But Bartimaeus cried out even more. He wasn't overwhelmed with the hindrances. He just cried out even more, Jesus, thou son of David, here, have mercy on me. He's crying to Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, and we learn that obstacles, discouragements, can work in a way to deepen our desire to have the real thing. Sometimes God does that. He allows it in our life. He allows hindrances. He allows setbacks. He allows obstacles that are overruled by God to bring out the sincerity of our desire, the intensity of our desire. We don't come to Jesus in an armchair. We come wholeheartedly, and there'll be opposition. Just like the woman who had to press through the crowd to be healed. Oh, Jesus was surrounded by a great crowd, and she saw Jesus and she needed to be healed, and she pressed through the crowd, and it took effort. But eventually she touched the hem of his garment. And we can learn here that obstacles, discouragements, can actually, in a wonderful way, under God's sovereign will, work in a way to deepen our desire to have the real thing. And it encourages in our soul. We think, with all these hindrances and all these obstacles, and yet I still want to know Jesus. I'm still asking for Jesus to come into my life. And it shows the depth of the work of God in your life. You see, if he had listened to the crowd, he'd have given up. And Satan tries to stop us crying out to God. Look, he says, look at these hindrances. Why bother? And he discourages us. But the continuation of your cry this morning, amidst the opposition, demonstrates the sincerity of your cry, the reality of your faith. And so God is overturning what Satan means for evil and actually using it for your encouragement. Oh, I really do want to know the Lord Jesus. Peter had this experience, didn't he? When Jesus said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, yes, I love you. You know I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Three times he said to Peter, do you love me? And the Lord Jesus did that, not to be unkind, but to show Peter the necessity of real wholehearted love and sincerity. There was wisdom in the question. And here we see the sincerity of the desire of Bartimaeus. He knew that Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, was way above in authority and power and kindness and love and compassion than all these people around him telling him to stop and be quiet. Well, his call then, verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now we read here about the remarkable authority of the Lord Jesus. He stood still and commanded him to be called. Now think about this. This is the creator of the world. This is the Son of God. He was there at the beginning of time with the Father and with the Spirit, involved in the creation of the whole world. And here we see specifically that Jesus stood still. Now who did he stand still for? Did he stand still for a religious leader, someone in authority, a very important person. Who did Jesus stand still for? He stood still for Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And doesn't that give you hope this morning? That if Jesus can stand still for Bartimaeus, he can stand still for you. Because we're sinners. And we need the Saviour. And we can come with our need, however uncomfortable we may feel this morning, however ashamed we may feel this morning, however guilty we may feel this morning, Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of the whole world, stands still for sinners. And he not only stands still, he says, come. Come to me. The Master calleth thee. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful this morning? It says here, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now what made Jesus, the Creator of the universe, stand still? What stopped Jesus in his tracks? It was the cry of mercy. It was the cry for mercy. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's the same this morning when we cry, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus will stop and stand still. And he calls you, he commands you, in fact, to come to him with your need. He's willing to take time. He's willing to stop in his schedule here, take an interest in Bartimaeus who cried for mercy. It's interesting to note that soon after this event, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the crowds took the lead and they called out, Hosanna to the Son of David. They had a song. But there was something missing in their cry. There was something missing. It lacked the vital element that was included in Bartimaeus' cry. He cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The crowd were not looking to Jesus for mercy like Bartimaeus was. And so they missed out at that time on a fundamental blessing. They were not conscious of their need of a Savior like Bartimaeus. Their song was good. They were praising God. But there was something missing that was included here with Bartimaeus. Thou Son of David, praise him, have mercy on me. Now his desire was deep and real. And so I ask the question again this morning. What do you want Jesus to do for you? How are you looking to Jesus this morning? Have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus in his poverty and need was welcome to come to Jesus. Jesus commanded that he be called. And this reminds us of the sovereign work of God in calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What an effect it had upon Bartimaeus. It was a personal call. Jesus, the Son of God, stood still for a person. A blind beggar. And he commanded him to be called to come to him. Be of good cheer, be of good comfort this morning. Rise, he calleth thee. Jesus calls sinners who understand their need and feel their need. Come, come, he says. And it's this authoritative call. He's calling you. Who's he calling? The good people? The righteous people? No. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And with all our failures this week, the difficulties we've had, we can come just as we are, because Jesus calls sinners to himself. Well, let's look at his conversion pathway as we hasten towards conclusion. Verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now let's look at his conversion pathway here. Bartimaeus could not physically see Jesus, but he'd heard about Jesus. He believed in what he had been told about the wonderful person and work of Jesus Christ. He was very eager to meet Jesus personally. He lost no time in responding to the call and invitation of Jesus. He threw aside his garment, we read, demonstrating the need to be released from all the hindrances to come to Jesus. Now remember here, for your encouragement, that we, like Bartimaeus, we can't see Jesus physically with our eyes. We can't touch him. We can't see him. We can't hear his voice audibly. And Bartimaeus had not seen Jesus at that point. He'd not touched Jesus. He'd only heard about Jesus. But he came by faith, believing. He couldn't see with his eyes, and he couldn't feel with his hands, but he came because Jesus said, come. And he came because Jesus said, come. So Jew Bartimaeus came to Jesus by faith, based on what he'd heard about Jesus, and based on the invitation of Jesus. And so this reminds us of the work of the gospel. The gospel is good news. It tells us that needy sinners like you and like me, who physically cannot see Jesus, are welcome to come to Jesus, believing in him, because all that the Father gives to me, he will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will not cast away, I will not send away, I will not drive away. No, this is wonderful grace. His clear desire then, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to be very clear about what he really wanted Jesus to do for him. Did he want money? Did he just want a God of providence? Did he just want to be physically restored, have his sight restored? Or did he want, in addition to having his sight restored, true fellowship with Jesus? Did he want to know Jesus for who he was? Not just Jesus as the healer, but Jesus as the Saviour. The question reminds us that the problem of people who only want Jesus for what he can do for them physically and practically. This is so sad. I mentioned it earlier on. Early on in the ministry, in my first pastorate, there was living in the town of the church a mayoress and her husband, and this man was very poorly. And one Monday evening I had a phone call. Would I pray for the mayoress's husband at our prayer meeting? He's very sick. Well, we did pray as a church for this man who was very sick. And remarkably, the Lord, in his goodness, healed this man. And he was strengthened again. He came out of hospital, and we had this letter. Thank you very much. Well, of course, we invited them to the church. Come and hear the gospel. But they didn't want to come to church, no. They were just happy to be healed physically. They're not interested in Jesus for their souls. Isn't that sad? God was so good to them. They recognized it. But they were only interested in God, the God of providence. And when the question is, what do you want me to do for you this morning? Is your life just consumed with what God can do for you providentially? That is good, to trusting the God of providence. But it's so sad if we stop there and we're not looking to the God of salvation. Well, I believe Bartimaeus was looking not only to the God of providence, but to the God of grace. Because he says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. The blind man said, Lord, that is Rabboni, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Rabboni means Lord. That's what it says in the original, Rabboni, but it means Lord. And that is translated here. And therefore, by that statement, we see Bartimaeus believed in Jesus as both Saviour and Lord. Son of David, have mercy upon me. And it's moved on in his cry, and his answer to Jesus was, Lord, Lord. There's no higher name than Lord. And so he's looking to Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And in that one word, he's saying, Lord, I not only want physical healing, but spiritual fellowship with Jesus as the Lord of my life. I only want Jesus the healer, but I want Jesus as Lord of my life. And we know from the account of Luke 18:42 what Bartimaeus did receive both, because read there, immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And here he followed Jesus in the way. What a fruit! The fruit not only of physical healing, but spiritual healing. Salvation to the soul. The evidence of salvation in your soul is following Jesus. Are you following him? Is he the Lord of your life? The first fruit for Bartimaeus of healing was to follow Jesus. And this was the evidence of his conversion. He gave glory to God. And he followed Jesus. That's so important, friends. So, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Just prior to this miracle, Jesus had fed the 5,000 or more on the with the loaves and the fishes in a most remarkable way. And the next day we know they came to Jesus. They wanted to meet this miracle bread maker. Oh, wow, what an amazing man. We got this man. He's incredible. He can meet our providential needs. And Jesus said, you've only come to me for the bread. But do you not realize that I'm the bread of life? This is just a picture of a greater gift I can give you, spiritual life. So the question we need to answer in conclusion this morning, in the secret of your heart this morning, what do you want most in your life? Friends? Relationship? Perhaps those of you who are younger in years, grow up into life, you're looking for a young man or a young woman, and you want to look into the future in life, and that's a good thing, as in the Lord, if you look in the right way. That's important. That's important. It's not everything. God has his sovereign will in our life. Are you looking for wealth and happiness, popularity, a good job, success? Perhaps you're looking to be admired and respected. And Bartimaeus had to answer this question from Jesus for himself. No one else could answer it for Bartimaeus. His great desire was to know physical and spiritual healing. He believed in Jesus and wanted to follow Jesus. And so the question for us this morning is, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you really want Jesus in your life? Do you understand your need? Bartimaeus' condition is a picture of us as sinners, helpless in our need of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our life. Jesus is still able to heal in a miraculous way. And according to his good pleasure, by his Holy Spirit and the perfect sovereign will of God the Father, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The miracle pointed to the fact that Jesus can heal not only physically, but spiritually. And Jesus reminds us of this in the way he said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit you if God in his providence gave you everything you wanted providentially, a big house and everything else that you wanted, but you had no concern for your soul? Jesus can forgive our sin. He can give us spiritual and eternal life. Jesus can take us to glory. He can give grace and glory. Jesus can save us from the eternal consequences of unforgiven sin and eternity in hell. Jesus came to this world as Savior with this great objective to save sinners, helpless, undeserving sinners, just like me and just like you. And he gives us this grace of forgiveness and spiritual life, eternal life, freely. Bartimaeus had nothing to give to Jesus. He could only receive. And so it is this morning. Well, just remember then this morning the danger of the snooze button. On an alarm clock, you can have this snooze button. And there it is. It comes, the alarm goes off, and there is this snooze button. You can just tap the button, and it goes off again. And we're often like that, sadly, with the message of the gospel. We hear it from week to week, and we tap the snooze button. And we go on with our life, Monday through Saturday. We come again on Sunday and the gospel's preached again and we hear it and we recognize it and we say, yeah, that's true. Cares come into our mind and we tap the snooze button and we go on. But we can't go on like this for all our life. There's gonna come a stop time. We don't know what will happen to us this coming week. And Satan tempts us to press the snooze button. Just press it and it'll go quiet. But remember the danger of pressing the snooze button. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Believe in him. Turn to him. And look to him for his name's sake.